Managing your home finances can feel pretty lonely, like when you look at your bank account and wonder where your paycheck went, or when the gap between your income and expenses just keeps shrinking. You might feel like you're the only one dealing with that. I'm Carly Hill, and on the Debt-Free Mom podcast, we talk with women and families about confidently managing your money. From saving to budgeting to caring for the things we own, we find practical ways to move from feeling stuck to stable with our money. Join the conversation on the Debt-Free Mom podcast.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it. Hey, y'all, we are back this week again with part two of our conversation with Dr. Gabe. We talking tummy yummies, tummy yummies. See, I'm not even like that big of a Bieber fan. Anyways, if you're joining us now, you're here for the part two conversation. And this is where we get into a lot of what the recovery looks like. We continue more on the details of what each surgery can look like if you are considering tummy tuck or any sort of postpartum surgery. We also get into what healing can look like as far as how long will it be till you can lift your kids again? Or what should you look for if you're looking for a surgeon? What questions to ask? Because y'all, no two surgeons are exactly alike. Look at the belly buttons. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Look at the belly buttons and look at the Tara Reads of the 2000s. So sorry, Tara Reed, my bad. But I'm just saying, you're going to want to do your research when you are picking a surgeon. So I hope you continue to learn in this episode and hope y'all enjoy. Okay, so let's talk recovery, because a lot of my followers, they are mothers. And so a lot of them have like little ones too, like not even.
Believe me.
Yeah, you know, and especially twin moms, where I feel like I'm in case like listeners are wondering, like loose skin that normally requires an incision or Renuvion, liposuction is more to do with fat. You spoke about which layer and what you would like, what your achievable results are, what you're looking to do. All of them want to know though, how long is it going to take me to recover? When can I start lifting my kids again? When can I like not have to have help? So what is like, I know it's hard to say depending on the procedure, but what would you say expectation?
It's so very good. So on the most, let's start on the simple end. It usually can be as little as a week or so if we're just doing lipo and Renuvion, even a mini tummy tuck, because the mini tummy tuck in my hands is the same recovery as just liposuction.
So
that's like a week max.
Okay.
When you start moving on to a full tummy tuck, obviously that becomes a little more complicated. For my full tummy tucks, I usually will say for a desk job, expect to take about 2 weeks off of work. Okay. Now, as we all know, compared to being a mom, a desk job is a joke.
Easy. Okay? That's a vacation.
Yes, exactly. It is. But what I've seen is for those first 2 weeks, you really need a lot of help.
Yes.
Moms need a lot of help. After that time, you start being much more involved in the family again and in your children's lives again. And, I usually have moms hold off on picking up toddlers for about, 2 to 4 or ideally 4 to 6 weeks. It's hard.
Yeah, that's what I did. But yeah, it was hard.
Something my wife's OB, thank you, Ruth Cousineau, I love you so much. something my wife's OB taught us that, when we had our second was this. So Tiff had C-sections for both. Both kids were breech. So we knew she was getting a C-section the second time. And that is a similar recovery consideration to a tummy tuck.
That's helpful.
By the way, actually, this is really interesting. As far as the equivalence, sometimes a C-section is harder. Sometimes a tummy tuck is harder. They're in the same ballpark.
But
it's sort of up and down one or the other. It's not one is vastly worse than another.
That's really helpful. Anyways, go on.
Heading into Tiff's second C-section, my daughter at that time was going to be 23 months old. So she was moving around and everything. And Dr. Cousineau said, look, obviously you want to embrace your daughter. You want to embrace your child. You want to hold your child. You want to love her. You can't not do that. Okay.
Right.
So the best move is get down on your knees, get down to her level and hold her and love her and hug her and all that stuff. That will sort of, it just takes out that picking up part of it, but you're still there for the child and you still can give them the love that they need. And I swear this has become one of the most effective pieces of advice and kind of the most beautiful pieces of advice that I can give, you know, because so much of the fear that moms have is, oh my God, I can't be a mom to my child. And that's terrifying.
Right.
So I think that's a super, super important part of the recovery process. Then when it comes to things like staying fit and moving around and doing more, usually I'll have my moms get back to more aggressive exercise at about 4 weeks. I have them ease into it from week 4 to 6. And my number one rule for everything, my number one mantra is, if it doesn't feel good, don't do it.
Yeah.
Listen to your body and your body is going to guide you. So, you know, there's no hard and fast answer. It's different from person to person, but that's sort of the guiding principle that I like to give.
I love that because that was one thing I was concerned about, not being able to lift my twins, who at the time were a year old once I had my surgery, but like getting down to their level or just leaning over on the bed, just making sure that lifting wasn't taking place. Yeah, I still was able to comfort them and it was fine. Right. And dad got to do a little bit more, which is never a bad thing. So, you know, use your village. Speaking of postpartum, if someone is considering doing some sort of surgery, is there like a minimum amount of time that they can wait? Like, is it 6 months, 1 year postpartum? Like once you have a baby, when can you consider doing some sort of surgery like this? Tummy tuck specifically.
As with everything. Yeah, right. No black and white answer, but here are the details. Number one, obviously stop breastfeeding. And we want you to stop breastfeeding for a while. Usually wait a few months after that. Number two, and I think this is probably the most definable thing, I want you to have stabilized in your weight. Okay. You gain a little weight, as you're breastfeeding, the weight may change once it stops, you know, all of that stuff. I want my patients to have shown to have plateaued for a little bit, you know, and that's important because look, there's nothing worse than doing a big tummy tuck where you tighten their muscles, you tighten their skin to what their torso is at that point. But then if the torso shrinks down some more, well, then you got loose skin again, you got loose muscles again. And that is a physical consequence of losing more weight after your tummy tuck. So weight stability for me, I think, is the number one thing. And usually by the time my moms are stable at that weight, it is, you know, usually about 3 months or so after they've stopped breastfeeding or postpartum or something like that.
Yeah.
So that to me is the most concrete answer I can give. I have done body contouring with liposuction, mini tummy tucks as early as about 3 months after they've had kids. That's pretty early. And that is with a very clear discussion about what their situation is. So that's,
I mean, you're in Beverly Hills. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like it might be a little more normal there, but that's a lot.
No, but again, listen, ethics are everything. Really talk about the consequences.
Yeah.
And usually I do it because of sometimes a very specific reason. I would say where you were when you had it is when I see it more often, usually at that 1 year mark. Interestingly, I see a major uptick in mommy makeovers and stuff after about 2 years. And I think it's because the kids at that point are much more independent. They're able to walk around, move around quite a bit. And of course, that does speak to the other question of, I think it is more prudent to do these things once you've decided that you don't want any more kids. And the reason is, of course, your body is going to continue to fluctuate after you have kids. Now, it raises an interesting question of, well, what if we're doing just liposuction? You know, lipo only takes care of the fat underneath the skin. Plus or minus, you do a little Renuvion to shrink things down. You know, that gets into more outlier territory again, where that's a one-on-one conversation you want to have with your doc.
Yeah, I think like it's, I mean, after I did a full tummy tuck, y'all. And so one thing that my surgeon was like, are you going to have more kids? I was like, no, absolutely not. I mean, I could. And I just would not want to do that again personally.
Right.
Like it just seems like a waste. Like, no, I don't want to go through it again. Like I look great. I don't want to redo and have to redo anything I already went through. So definitely I love how you're saying the weight fluctuation, like be at around your weight that you can maintain. I'm assuming that's for like, I didn't think about weight loss as much as it being a big factor. Like I was thinking weight gain, but it sounds like be around the same weight that you think you can maintain for a long time. And also if you're considering having more kids, maybe hold off. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, not necessarily, but just.
Exactly. I mean, look, there are surprises in life, right? You know, I have some patients who like we're talking 3 months after the tummy tuck, pregnant.
Damn!
I mean, that in some way speaks, I hope, to the quality of my results.
Right. They look that damn good, y'all. That's what happened. They look too damn good. And that's what happened. I love that. That is hilarious. Okay. So also for my post-op, I had drains. Now I know this can be like I didn't know it was a weird subject, but some people are like pro drains, no drains.
Right.
What's your thought on that?
I've gone through the whole gamut. I'm actually very good friends with one of the guys who is a major proponent of the no drain technique. And I was doing that for a while. What I've seen is this. First of all, look, it goes down to the comfort level of your surgeon and the techniques and stuff that they do. Now, I do a lot of liposuction with my tummy tucks. I feel that sculpting the body in the most comprehensive fashion involves lipo. Funny enough, that lipo is also sometimes super helpful with the recovery because the liposuction, when you do it, you put in a ton of fluid underneath the skin. Okay. That fluid, certainly it helps you take fat out, but it also has lidocaine in it, which is a numbing medicine and can actually keep you comfortable for a good 24, 48 hours after surgery. So that's a nice touch. But the amount of fluid that I put in, I started realizing was simply too much for the body to reabsorb by itself. And it really required me to put drains back in again. I was taught with drains. I went without drains for a while. And now I'm back to using drains. And I really stand by it.
Okay.
That is my decision. That is my experience. So that's what I choose to do. And it works for me. It works for my patients. I have great results with it. I will also leave a tiny little drain often at the top of the butt crack because you can accumulate fluid back there if you're doing a 360 lipo on someone. So that's super soft. It's really easy. It just drains out fluid. But I do think it's important.
As someone that did have drains, and then I went to, I don't know where all that liquid would have gone. I mean, assuming it would have just come out, but it just seemed like there was
a lot.
Yeah. And that's another thing, y'all, if you are going to do one of these procedures and you do have drains that first week or so you keep them in and you will need help getting, you don't necessarily, but just someone like to drain that, spill it out. But yeah, once you get those taken out, it almost feels like you, a new like level of recovery. I remember just being very with the drains the first week, like, oh, okay, I can't do that much. And then getting them taken out just gave me a little bit more flexibility, but I love my results with them. And I don't know where all that liquid would have gone. So that was really good for me. I'm wondering though, too, a lot of people don't realize that when you do invest in plastic surgery, a lot of times there's these massages that you can do.
Oh my God. I love that you're talking about this.
Like, let's talk about it because I didn't know about it and I got it. And I was like, and people were telling me when you don't get it, what could happen? So I'm curious from your standpoint, what do you think about massages?
So, you know, it's funny, as with everything in medicine, usually the answer comes from mistakes of the past.
Yeah.
Okay. Or experiences of the past. Let's not call them mistakes.
Right.
You know, I joke about this, that when I started my career, I was taught sort of the old school way of, well, you know, I am the most important thing, right? I do the surgery. What I do in the OR is it. That's all that matters. Nothing else matters. Right. I didn't care about massages. I didn't care about other things like hyperbaric oxygen therapy, which we should talk about. I didn't care about any of these things. And I little by little started realizing, well, my results were good, but I feel like they could be better. Massage has fundamentally changed my results. They have taken it from here to there. They have really, sorry, you can't see it, from a 10 to a 35. Okay. And there are a lot of reasons for it. Okay. Yeah. So number one, massage just helps you feel better faster. You know, you're walking around like a wet sponge. You've got all this fluid in your body, and the massage will help push that stuff out of you. So you just sort of tighten up faster. Okay. Now, what is more important in my mind is what that means in the long term. Because remember, I said in the old school, people used to do lipo, and you just look at someone who had old school lipo, and you know they're flat, they're thick, you touch their skin, and it's just something weird.
It's weird. Okay? Yeah. Right. Yes.
So I think the reason is this. You do liposuction, you do body contouring surgery, and that stimulates inflammation in your body. Your body has a lot of fluid in the fat and everything after these procedures. Well, that fluid is not just water. It is your body bringing plasma or inflammatory stuff into the tissues. And think about it. You cut your skin. What happens over time? Your body scars. Yes. It heals by scarring.
Yes.
So in my eyes, if you don't push out that fluid that is under your skin, it will stay there and it will result in scar tissue being laid down in that area. And it creates this thick, unnatural tissue.
Yeah.
On the flip side, what I have found is that by emphasizing massage, we push that fluid out. We soften the tissues because there's no more inflammation there. And it goes back to feeling like very natural tissue, which we have thinned out because of the lipo and everything like that. So it really helps my patients shrink down, look toned, look natural, look soft, feel soft and natural. And again, it's just taken the result to the next level by getting rid of all that inflammatory crap that stays in the skin afterwards.
That makes so much sense. And we had so many questions around scarring. And what I'll say from my experience as someone that got the massages, it's like, I think it was like maybe anywhere from 1,000 to like 1,300. Over 1,000 investment because you want to get multiple ones, guys. You don't want to go just get one. You want to do it consistently over like right after your post-op. And I'll say my actual incision scar healed. They give you like bleaching cream and things like that for it. But Black women and Black people, and I think it's Asian AAPI, we can tend to keloid. We can scar differently. And scarring is all to say is like, it doesn't necessarily only happen where your incision is.
Yes.
Like you're naming, it can happen inside. So like that massaging, I remember there'd be like a little knot kind of thing and she would massage it and would just be softer and you couldn't see it. Whereas I feel bad saying this, but back in the 2000s, like you would see like these celebs or like Tara Reid lover, but
she is literally the one I used. She is my poster child. I love her. I'm actually so grateful to her for owning it and putting it out there. But that result, those lumpy, bumpy, terrible sort of pockmarked results. Well, that is a function often of poor work, but also poor care afterwards.
So you're
completely right.
Yeah. Google that image, y'all, if you don't know who she is. I'm telling you, that's what we're trying to say. Massages help with and a good surgeon.
That's right.
Okay. Now, let's talk about a little bit about finding the right doctor, because unfortunately, not all of us can go to a U. Not all of us live in the Beverly Hills and can go to Dr. Gabe. But if we are looking for someone, what are some fundamental things that we should look for in finding a doctor? What are some red flags that we should look out for so we don't get a botched surgery?
The most important thing to do is just find the airline that can take you to Los Angeles and into Beverly Hills. That's all that matters.
Okay. Nothing else. All right. That's number one.
this is such an important question. This is so, so critical because there are a lot of things out there. You know, as I was alluding to earlier, there are a lot of doctors now who see that cosmetic surgery is great. They don't have to deal with insurance companies. They don't have to deal with patients who are sick and, you know, sad and stuff like that. It's all for the doctors, there are a lot of pluses, but that means that there are a ton of unqualified people coming out there and doing these procedures. Yes. I think, to me, the first, not the only, but the first stop is to ensure that your doctor is certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery, okay? And this is a very specific thing because the American Board of Plastic Surgery is the only board that is truly representative of plastic surgeons. And I say that because there is a new board that came out called the American Board of Cosmetic Surgery, which is different. It is not the same. The American Board of Cosmetic Surgery was created for doctors who are not officially trained in plastic surgery. They're OBGYNs, they're general surgeons, or whoever, who decide, you know what, I'm going to go take a little training and I'm going to call myself a cosmetic surgeon. They literally created their own board so they could say, well, I'm a board certified cosmetic surgeon, but they don't have anywhere near the training that we do.
Wow. Language, y'all. Language, totally, like you were saying before, just calling something different. All right.
And let me explain a really important point here. One of the reasons why it's important is because a lot of these doctors will say, well, I've trained in cosmetic surgery. Yeah, you as a plastic surgeon, you had to train in reconstructive surgery, this, that, and the other. I'm not trained in any of that silliness. The problem is this. Fine, you can teach someone to do an operation, but it is a whole different world of training to teach someone how to both prevent and manage complications. The real skill of your doctor comes from how they manage. What if something goes wrong? Because something can go wrong in the best of hands. And a truly well-trained doctor will know how to recognize something immediately and manage it immediately. So you prevent a small little bump in the road from snowballing into an absolute disaster. And I'll tell you, I've had to deal with that exact scenario all the time. I'm the chief, I'm the clinical chief of plastic surgery at Cedars-Sinai, number two hospital in the country. Thanks.
Just a modest plug. No big deal.
I have had so many people come to the hospital because they were taken care of by someone who didn't know what they were doing. And I had to fix that mess. Okay. So that is a really important thing. American Board of Plastic Surgery.
Write it down.
And not the American Board of Cosmetic Surgery or whatever.
I didn't even know that was a thing. So.
It is, unfortunately. Now, that is just the first step. And listen, there are a lot of boarded plastic surgeons who do decent work, but it's decent work.
Yeah.
You want to go to someone who does work that, in your eyes, is beautiful and has the results that are right for you. So that is where the blessing and the curse of social media and the modern, internet and all that stuff comes in, where now the responsibility you've already established when your doctor is certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery, but do they do a lot of the operation that you want? Or do they do it once a year? Are their results good? Okay, so you got to ask them, do you do this a lot? Then you need to look at their work. You need to go on their social media. You need to go here and there, Real Self, Yelp, wherever, and see, is this, number one, someone who looks like me? Is this, number two, something that I think is beautiful? Is this something that speaks to me?
Yes.
And then you want to make sure that their results are good. This is tricky, but their reviews are good.
Yeah.
Because, you want to go and see that they have good numbers of Yelp reviews, Google reviews, Real Self reviews that are positive. Now, that's tricky because there is also a lot of review inflation out there. There are fake reviews out there. There are also some people who just will put out sort of bad reviews to get back at doctors, trolls. Yeah. Thank you.
I know all about that.
So you got to, exactly. You got to learn how to read through the lines. And I think we're all pretty good at that. Now you go to a restaurant, you see some of their one-star reviews, you know that that person's just kind of a jerk who's out for a free meal.
Right.
Literally.
Right. 100%.
So do that. And then, I think another really interesting thing is this. Go to someone who you connect with. Go to someone who you see. Listen, this person is literally going to have their life in your hands. Do you get a good vibe from them on what they put out there during your consultation? Do you connect with them?
Yeah.
And I think this is the fascinating thing about social media. I've grown up with it. I've sort of evolved with it, where I'm at a place right now that I see that the people who come to my office, we connect a lot together. And I realized it's because they know who I am before they ever step foot in the office. And it makes my consultation easier. I mean, look, even you, your questions that you're asking me, the way you approach me, you told me you've been following me.
Oh,
so
yeah.
you know how to yes. guide this conversation just based on what I put out
there. Right, 100%. Okay?
And it makes for such a beautiful experience. I have a lot of friends who are, you know, very, let's call them specific types of surgeons, famous surgeons, this and that. And, you know, especially when I started my career, I tried to emulate them and I just realized this wasn't working. And now I see that they get their kind of patient.
Yeah.
I get my kind of patient and it's good. It's good for me.
Yeah.
It's good for my patients because it's just, it's right. So, you know, connect with your doctor.
I think those are all
important things that we have to consider.
I love that so much because even like I said, most of my followers are mothers, and the same way we choose who's going to deliver our babies, like, is the same kind of thoughtfulness you should think about in a plastic surgeon. Like, you are putting your life into their hands, but also, is the vibe right? Like, what does your intuition say?
Totally.
Go with that. I also think like, not shop around, but maybe if you're not sure, like, who are the good surgeons in your area, maybe go to three. Like, if there's a guy that, if you come in, like a mom that had twins, I had a lot of loose skin, y'all. I will put like a picture up. But if I went to someone and was like, I want these results, and brought in a belly of, I don't know, someone with a perfect six pack, and like, I don't want to do more than a mini tummy tuck. And he was like, yeah. And they agreed. It's like, no, you're lying to me.
Like,
If they say no to you about something, that's also for your safety. I actually think, like, if you go in and you say, I don't know what you would say no to, but like, I want a full body lipo and then this and that and this and this all in the same procedure. If it was too much or wasn't right for my body, or there was medical reasons, or my BMI was too high.
Yeah.
You want a plastic surgeon to be able to say, hey, maybe not, but you look for those things are actually good things.
And absolutely.
That's like a qualification of a knowledgeable surgeon. So I can't stress that enough. Like, I wish we could all go to you, but I'm like, not every plastic surgeon.
No, I know. I obviously there are a lot of great surgeons out there. People who I really respect, admire, envy, and you know, we make for a great community, I think. And I think if you're among the people who truly are good at their craft and they truly care, you're going to be in good hands, you know, with whoever you go with. And that is that sweet thing where the icing on the cake is you can go to a doctor who you really connect with. Now, you say an interesting thing, shop around. I think that's important. But I warn your listeners not to overdo it.
Okay.
You know, I think three is a good number. Two, three people. Do your homework. Narrow it down to a few surgeons who you really feel good about. Don't do six. Don't do 10. And I will tell you, I've had that. I've had people where I was number eight, you know?
Wow.
And it's just, it is overwhelming. You lose your focus. You lose any sense of what's right and what's wrong. You know?
Right.
And another really important thing that you bring up is this idea of saying no. I say no all the time.
Yeah.
I also have very clear discussions about realistic expectations, because this goes back to what I said earlier of, you know, the patient who comes to me and says, this surgeon said, I will only do a full tummy tuck on you. Anything else is...
Yes.
Trash, get out of here. Well, I mean, yes, that is often what will give you the best result. But such an interesting thing is that sometimes my patients don't want that best result.
Right.
They want a result. And then it is time to talk about and break down all of the different options, as we just did, and tie in what is acceptable for them. Some people simply want to look more slim in their clothes. They don't care if they have
loose skin. Right, you know, exactly.
Or they don't care if they have a little bit of loose skin, or they don't, you know, like, you have to go with what's right for you. And I think as a surgeon, the responsibility falls on my shoulders to clearly explain to a patient what that is. And that does take sometimes reading into them and understanding what they're looking for, so I can help give them the options and help guide them towards the thing that's their best option. Okay. And that's the thing. The best option is the best thing. There is rarely an only option in plastic surgery. There are so many different ways of doing things. For me, that was always the hard, that was actually the hardest thing in learning plastic surgery, was understanding, okay, there are literally 10 different techniques to do the same thing. What's the right one that I choose?
Right.
And it's tough for my patients too.
Oh, well, I'm just so honored and so feel so lucky to have had you today and like gotten into your brain a little bit. Y'all, this is like, this is priceless. You basically, without him being seeing you, this is all these questions I wish I had answered before I went into getting my tummy tuck. But again, this is Dr. Gabe. You can find him at www.gabeplasticsurgery.com. I will say, y'all, if it's within budget, I don't discount a flight out somewhere to get a really good plastic surgeon. I'm not even kidding. People do this internationally, which is a whole nother topic. But if you're going to fly somewhere like Beverly Hills and see if you can get on this person's calendar. And then his IG is Gabe Plastic Surgery. So it's G-A-B-B-A-Y Plastic Surgery. And again, his highlight reels have so many results and before and afters and a lot of the things that we discussed. So definitely check that out. But again, thank you so much for being here today. And I just appreciate your time.
Thank you. I had so much fun. I really appreciate you reaching out. I'm always here for you. So hopefully we can have more fun conversations in the future.
Absolutely. And with that, that's been Twin Mama Podcast, y'all. See you later. And that concludes this week's episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, y'all. If you like what you heard, please leave us a review. The 5-star reviews mean so much to me and the team. Keep on going. You can also follow us on social media at That Twin Mama Podcast on Instagram. And if you want to follow along with some visuals and some of the before and afters I referenced in this vid, definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel at That Twin Mama. So hope you all enjoy. And until next time, y'all.
Peace.